Hello. I'm going to be presenting on our project, Beyond the Volcanoes, a community partnership for health in rural Nicaragua. We have no personal financial relationships to disclose. According to the Pan American Health Association, health inequities related to gender, economic status, ethnicity, socioeconomic status, and geography exist in rural Nicaragua due in part to lack of access to health services. The purpose of community-based participatory action research is to promote health equity through a partnership between the researchers and the community with the goal of a commitment to social transformation for improved health. Community-based participatory action research is a collaborative approach to research that equitably involves all partners in the research process and recognizes the unique strengths that each brings. The research begins with a research topic of importance to the community, with the aim of combining knowledge and action for social change to improve community health and eliminate health disparities. This research method involves six phases: assessment, planning, implementation, evaluation, and dissemination. An ecological approach to community-based participatory action research provides the conceptual foundation for the research. According to ecological development theory, individuals develop in the environments in which they interact. Depending on the age of the person, these environments can include the home, the school, and the community. This framework is inclusive of family, school, and primary healthcare theories. We did obtain approval from the Institutional Review Board at Valparaiso University, and we obtained informed consent for participation, photos, and videos. Community-based participatory action research is a cyclic and iterative process that involves developing a partnership with a community, developing a community assessment tool, using the data from the community assessment to define the plan of action in partnership with the community, evaluating the plan of action, and disseminating the information within the community. As you can see, the community partner is vital to the process of community-based participatory action research and is essential to the sustainability of the project. The goal of community-based participatory action research is to do with the community rather than for the community. In community-based participatory action research, the research method is determined by the community. There are several methods used in community-based participatory action research. It is important that the community decides these methods so that the method is culturally appropriate. Mixed methods allows the researchers and community members to triangulate the data, asking the research questions in different ways to assess the data for similar responses. In our partnership phase, we had a sample group that you can see above. This is the demographic data. These are our participants for our key informants. They ranged in age from 31 to 52 years. 7 of the key informants were male, 6 were female. The education level of the participants ranged from the completion of second grade to 6 years of college. The key informants represented the following occupations: 5 healthcare providers, 2 teachers, 2 non-governmental organization representatives, 2 faith-based leaders, 1 politically appointed community health leader, and 1 engineer. As you can see, the majority of the respondents were healthcare providers. These healthcare providers included nurses, physicians, and community health workers. The goal of the partnership phase was to strengthen an established partnership between academic researchers and community members. We engaged established partners in community-based capacity building, developed new partners in the community, and completed key informant interviews with new and established community partners. Results from the key informant interviews were used to develop a comprehensive community assessment tool. Partnership building in community-based participatory action research provides a mechanism to engage community members in working towards a common goal, health for all. 13 key informants participated in our interviews. During these interviews, the key informants voiced that it was difficult to prioritize their health concerns. Thus, all health concerns were recorded for a total of 39 responses. The primary health concern identified by key informants was gastrointestinal ailments, followed by respiratory illnesses. This bar graph, as you can see in the little corner, depicts the responses recorded from the key informants regarding their primary health concerns. 28% of the key informants verbalized that gastrointestinal illnesses were their primary health concern, while this was closely followed by 25% who identified respiratory illnesses as their as a concern. So as you can see, gastrointestinal illnesses and respiratory illnesses were the two primary health concerns identified by the key informants. This is important to note, as you will see in the upcoming slides, the opinions of the community members as compared to the key informants of the or leaders in the community differed slightly. The purpose of the assessment phase was twofold. It was to develop a community health assessment survey with community members and to implement this survey within the community. The community members we surveyed totaled 77 people from 47 different households. They ranged in age from 18 to 90 years. 26 participants were male, 51 were female. The education level of the participants ranged from no formal education to high school graduates. The community members represented the following occupations: 47 homemakers, 25 farmers, 2 shopkeepers, 1 teacher, 1 student, and 1 who did not specify an occupation. As you can see, the majority of the respondents were homemakers. This data can be explained by the time of day in which we conducted the interviews, as we collected these, or we conducted these interviews in the morning when it was primarily the homemakers at home and the men were out working. The goal of the assessment phase was to refine the community health assessment tool created by key informants and select community members to implement this community health assessment survey. The survey was implemented through home visits during Valparaiso University's Spring 2008 International Health Service Learning Trip. Interviews were conducted by nursing and pre-med students from Valparaiso University in partnership with community members. Nurses, community health workers, and translators from the community accompanied students during the survey. As we said before, 77 community members participated in the community health survey. Like the key informants, community members also had difficulty prioritizing their health concerns. So ultimately, we got a total of 186 responses, which we then formed into this lovely bar graph. As you can see, 35% of the community members verbalized that respiratory illnesses were their primary health concern. And this was followed by gastrointestinal illnesses, which were reported by only 16% of the community members who were interviewed. It is important to know the differences between the primary health concern of the key informants and that of the community members. The key informants verbalized that gastrointestinal ailments were of the utmost concern, yet the community members verbalized that respiratory illnesses were their primary concern. This exemplifies the importance of community-based participatory action research. If we were to solely act on the information obtained from the key informants, we would be implementing a project of little importance to the community members themselves. Working with the community members to determine the community's goals enhances the sustainability of the implementation plan. The purpose of our planning phase was to disseminate data from the assessment phase and work with the community to develop culturally appropriate health interventions addressing the community's health goals. The community decided that a community forum would be the most appropriate method of assembling community members to discuss the data, as well as to formulate a plan for the intervention phase of the research project. This slide depicts the data obtained from the community forum, the demographic data obtained from the community forum. So this shows the participants essentially. There were 16 participants, 10 males, 6 females, all over the age of 18 years. After we disseminated the data from the community health assessment, the community members were randomly divided into small focus groups consisting of 5 to 6 individuals. Consensus building was accomplished through these small focus groups, in which community members discussed culturally appropriate plans for the implementation phase of the research project. It was decided to utilize sociodramas and poetry to relay health education and health promotion themes. As a pilot, the focus groups discussed the results of the community health assessment and developed a sociodrama or a poem and or a poem related to their discussion and performed the sociodrama or poem to the entire community. The themes of these sociodramas and poems were primarily on improving air quality, improving water quality, and improving sanitation within the community. I would now like to welcome Dr. Amy Corey to present on the pre-intervention phase.
Due to timing, one of the things that we didn't have the opportunity to show you today are some of those sociodramas. So to bridge the gap between what happened in the sociodramas and where we are in the pre-intervention phase, I'll fill in a little bit of that information first. When it came to the community developing information in relationship to health education, we recognize that the community members themselves identified respiratory illness as their primary health concern. So going off of that theme, when they developed sociodramas related to health education and improving respiratory health, what came of that was the issues surrounding open pit fire cooking within the home and how that affects their respiratory health. And so that's how we bridged the planning phase to the pre-intervention phase. Well, recognizing before we move forward with any intervention to improve respiratory health, we needed to assess community readiness. And that was essentially the aspect of the pre-intervention phase, was to do just that. And so what we did was implement a readiness for change survey that looked at several different aspects of the community's eagerness and ability and readiness to move forward with any implementation project. So the demographic data from the pre-intervention phase, we performed the community readiness survey with 52 members in the community. Their ages ranged from 21 to 95 years, 19 were men, 33 were women. Again, limitations, we predominantly collected the data in the early morning hours. It is hot, hot, hot in the area of rural Nicaragua where we are in the afternoon. So that's one of the limitations that we're working on in the future when we gather baseline data prior to intervention. Educational level was no formal education to a master's degree in rural development, and you can see how the occupations fared out there for you. Again, the majority of the respondents during this aspect of our research was they were homemakers. So the readiness survey looked at these aspects, community efforts and community knowledge of efforts regarding indoor air pollution. Leadership in the community, and I'll go through each one of these individually when we get to the results section. The community climate, knowledge about the issue, and resources for prevention efforts. We did collect longitude and latitude data because an assumption or hypothesis going into our research was that individuals that live closer to the rural road are of a differing socioeconomic level and have different resources than those members that may live farther away from the road. And so we're going to look at longitude and latitude data and do some spatial analysis on health outcomes in relationship to where individuals live, as well as what kind of cooking resources they currently have. And then we do have a photo gallery of lots and lots of stoves. With regards to methods, as Catherine mentioned, the community has had and culture a little bit of difficulty prioritizing, particularly on a Likert scale, particularly when we're using numerical values. So one of the things that the community members helped us to adapt was, I mean, typically we think of a 0 to 10 or a 1 to 10 scale when we think of a Likert scale. Obviously those can vary, but 1 to 10 did not have much meaning in prioritization to this particular community. So the community members themselves gave us words that they would use. And this is the part where Catherine should be presenting because I only know un poquito español. But poquito, poco, más o menos, mucho, mucho, and bastante. And so we're using those words to help better ascertain Likert scale information. And this was actually adapted from other research as well. So when it came to the survey looked at, and I grouped the first two together, community efforts and knowledge of efforts. So one of the things that was interesting is the community members' perceptions of indoor air pollution. So how much of a problem is it? And you can see there that those percentages fell out, that for the most part, it's very much or much of a problem in their community. But unfortunately, very little is being done in relationship to that. So when it came to what is being done, many community members essentially identified there aren't many efforts going on within the community. There were a few exceptions. A couple of community members were able to identify that several years back they had attempted a stove renovation project, but that didn't move forward, mostly due to lack of funding and resources, which you'll find later. And although there are rules about outdoor air pollution, there are not any rules, laws, or regulations with regards to indoor air pollution in the community. Who are the leaders helping with indoor air pollution? In the community, that essentially was no one. With few exception, they would identify health leaders in the community. Those that knew about the previous project that happened about 10 years ago would identify the gentleman in the community that spearheaded that project. But other than that, the vast majority of respondents indicated that no one in the community was currently helping with indoor air pollution efforts. With regards to community climate, this is probably one of my favorite questions because I've been working in this community for several years now. But the majority of respondents describe their community as a beautiful and friendly place. With that said, they recognize that their community members are very hardworking, but yet still they also self-describe themselves as very poor. The majority of respondents indicated that there aren't any occasions where smoke is acceptable in the home. With that said, a select few of respondents noted that it was unavoidable due to cooking methods, and again lends to resources to fix those cooking methods. The majority of the respondents, again, were not aware of activities in the community to address indoor air pollution. They did indicate that the main issues with indoor air pollution were lack of resources available to address the problem, mainly financial in nature, which is where we're hoping to help. So knowledge about the issue. Knowledge about the issue is very, very interesting as well, because this lends to the health education arm. We have two arms, one an intervention, an active intervention arm, and one a health education arm, and I'll explain both of those in a minute. But the majority of respondents indicated there was very little or little knowledge of indoor air pollution in their community, indicating that further health education is essential. And interestingly enough, the majority of respondents indicated that there wasn't anyone in the community to help with indoor air pollution. So when you turn to first, they were unable to answer that question. Those that were able to answer the question indicated a community leader, either a health leader or, again, the gentleman that had revamped stoves in the past, as someone that they could potentially turn to better understand the issue. So with regards to the entire project, because of Valparaiso University's existing relationships with community members and previous work in the community, we've been working in this specific community for over 13 years. This project's been going on for almost four. Community capacity building was able to be accomplished with ease. Again, with community-based participatory research, it's really important, and we drive ours. Those of us that know this research base know that there's a spectrum of involvement from the researchers. I would say with very much confidence that with regards to financial implications, the community drives this project with 100% certainty from the development of the project, from the ideas that have stemmed from it. The only thing, and we're actually going back in November to discuss finances, and it'll be the first time that actually that may also shift to a community perspective as well. There are strengths and limitations with that approach too. We're able to interview a diverse range of community members to include views and opinions of others outside of the healthcare field, which was very important. And the ecological approach helps to bring in all groups that help individuals grow and develop within their communities. Obviously, the limiting factors are, one, access. There is a rock in a neighboring community that has cell service. So unfortunately, to try to get access to the community, it's essentially a telephone tree to get messages. So that can be a limiting factor at times. And then, thankfully, I've had exceptional students, undergraduate students. It's an undergraduate research project at my university. And I've had exceptional undergraduate students that are fluent in Spanish. And that has been very helpful, but would recognize from my own perspective that language is a barrier. But we do have individuals and previous graduates of our university that actually live in the region that maintain regular communication with the community as well. So as for our action plan, so what are we doing with all this information that we've gathered so far? We've taken results from the community assessment as well as the community forums to guide implementation. We're looking, again, the two arms are, one is providing culturally relevant health education. The community members themselves decided to use sociodramas as a mechanism to deliver health education and potentially continue to use poetry to do the same. That's one arm of the study, and actually we're working with some of my colleagues at Texas State University who are health educators there to help spearhead that aspect of it. The other aspect is we recently were grant funded to retrofit 200 stoves in the community. And so we're going to use that funding to look at baseline data for the incidence of respiratory disease. We're going to work with my engineering colleagues and some of my colleagues in the arts and sciences to measure indoor air quality. And so we'll have baseline data before and then after we're able to improve stove ventilation. We're heading out actually a week from Wednesday to plan for all of this to occur in the spring, and then we'll evaluate the following year. And obviously we'll hold questions till after.